Parents, a weekly radio broadcast for parents of teenagers. Youth for Christ is committed to helping parents effectively raise their teens in today's challenging world. Now, here's your host, Kaylee Akina.
Welcome to YSC for Parents. My guest today, COSU, represents a vital generation of young people who are changing the church even as we speak. And this is something that happens in every generation. Some generations are simply not all that aware of it. I think it took several hundred years during the Middle Ages to become aware of this. But today, change is rapid. The world is changing.
The world is rapid.
Right, and so is the whole church. Let me tell you a little bit about my guest. COSU is a musician. He's a musical artist. He's the son of Leon and Malia. He's done very well there and is now going into the business of music as well. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, he's an educator at Pac Rim.
That's right.
And leads worship there and does many other projects across the world. He's a Nahoku Hanohano Award winner for Rock Album of the Year. And in addition to that, did a stint with the Hillsong
That's
group.
Right, yeah.
We'll talk about that, in fact, a little bit now. Please welcome to the program my dear friend COSU.
Oh, thank you, Kaylee. It's great to be here again.
Well, it is. I recall days when you and I used to talk about what's right and wrong in theology. We had some really sharp conversations. I kind of missed them. But you were always standing out amongst the young people in Youth for Christ as somebody who had not only talent and gifting from God, but a passion to make change happen.
Yeah, thanks. We always did. I mean, I think it's innate in the DNA or of each generation. There's this thing that wants to push forward. And I remember, even back in Youth for Christ, I remember we'd want to push the envelope. We'd want to,
that's part of it.
How do we go a little further than it's been done before?
Well, that's it in the heartbeat of people like Billy Graham who got on stage in their suits and wore white socks.
There you go. Rebels.
And we've been doing it ever since. But perspectives of a new generation. What's happening across the world, Koa? And you've had the opportunity to live on several continents now. What's happening in terms of the winds of change in the church?
Well, gosh, there is so much happening that it's going to be difficult to fit, anything into the time we have. But I would say the fundamental thing that I think is happening across the church is that people are developing a sense of being part of, the victorious kingdom of God. The kingdom, they're waking to really the knowledge that we belong to the kingdom where Jesus is king.
There are two words you've used that I think mean a lot. One is victorious and the other one's kingdom. And kingdom isn't a word everybody used all the time to describe their denomination.
Well, especially living in a democratic society,
we have
a hard time understanding that. But people are more, to make it really simple, a kingdom is wherever the king is king,
and the
king rules, where this is his place.
You mean by that also that there's only one kingdom?
And
it's not about a whole bunch of different churches,
certainly,
and a whole bunch of different traditions, although we exist in our history.
Right.
But you're seeing the emergence of a kingdom mindset.
Yes, so I'm glad you're mentioning that, because obviously people of our generation are very unconcerned about denominations. Mm-hmm. And,
I bet you don't even know the full name of your denomination.
No, it's the International Church of the Four Square Gospel.
You got all
but
those
I
words
only
in.
Know that. Uh-huh. Because I had to study through. I mean, you wouldn't know it if you just wouldn't know it unless you had to study it for some reason.
How many members of New Hope know that?
Exactly, because it is beside the point, and that's the thing that people are waking to. That the point is that Jesus is our King.
So it's the kingdom,
and that we're beginning to pray this prayer that he taught us to pray, as all saints have through all time, all history since Christ. But we've prayed, "Your kingdom come,
amen.
Your will be done,
amen,
on earth as it is in
amen
heaven." But here's the thing that I think is changing with this generation: is that when I was growing up, as a little boy in church, the prevailing feeling was, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And the way that we're going to interpret that is, the world is going to go from bad to worse, and the way that we need to live as Christians is to be like hide out in our Christian circle and be as faithful as possible. Like, that's going to be the best Christian life is to be as faithful and as stalwart as possible amidst the coming persecution.
And you so know, that's why you bring this other word in, was, victorious.
Exactly, because I believe that the church is waking to this sense that, oh, wait, Jesus has been victorious. His is the victory. And so therefore, people are starting to live like wait a minute, we don't just have to hide out from the world. Uh-huh. Perhaps we can really go and influence it. You know, perhaps we can really go out and be and bring a, you know, solution to things like poverty or issues like that.
You mean care about the world?
Yes, care about the world and go into it rather than being afraid of it.
Cole,
in other words,
I'm
really a sense of victory.
Excited about that.
And, yeah.
You know, I have to say this, you know, with sorrow in my heart too, that some of us in an older generation used to preach that caring for the world was like mopping the deck of the Titanic while it was sinking.
Mm.
But obviously a new generation of young, faithful Christians sees the world differently.
Yeah, we do. And it's not even to have a, you know, have mm-hmm. a war between the generations here. It's just to say that we're waking to this.
Uh-huh.
Everyone is. And in the older generation is as well. We're waking in this time in history to the fact that our Lord Jesus is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond what we can ask or imagine. We're expecting to see him act and move and lead us rather than being sort of a minority who's kind of holding out against evil to really influence and bring change.
You know who I see in this? I see Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach,
exactly.
and Abednego. I see
exactly.
Esther.
Those are the heroes of all young generations, but especially of this one. And you can hear it in the music.
Uh-huh.
And that's especially where I feel like I can see it, taste it, you know, touch it, and communicate it, is when you see these songs coming up, like most of the songs that come out of Hillsong, where I spent the last couple of years, as well as many other places, we're getting these songs about victory and the kingdom and awakening and you know, and solution. There's a song called Solution.
About that. So that's about the here and now, not the sweet by and by when we die.
Right.
That's not where we're not going to end up in heaven, but rather you're talking about the value of loving the world that is now.
That's right, yeah. It's about your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And obviously there's a clear teaching about persecution and things in the future, but it's always unclear about when the time will be. So what do we do between now and when that time is? Do we hide and try to stay faithful, or do we take the kingdom out into the world?
You know, very well put, Koa. We're going to come back after a short break and talk about some of the implications of this shift in looking at the world and our role in it as believers. As you put it, victorious and
yes.
about the kingdom.
Yes.
I just love that. This
he is for us. Who can be against
terrific.
Us?
Terrific. Yeah. I'm talking with Koa Siu. We're taking a look at perspectives of a new generation. This is Kaylee Aquina. We'll be right back after this.
Looking for some practical advice to help you raise your teenager? Then don't miss YFC's powerful 2-hour seminar entitled Life Coach Your Teens, available free of charge to interested church, school, and community groups. Life Coach Your Teens is the new program from YFC that will help you bring the best out of your teenager. You'll learn how to coach your child to achieve goals, set priorities, handle failures, and cope with anger. YFC Executive Director Kaylee Aquina will share with you from more than 2 decades of working with teens and parents. Life Coach Your Teens, available free of charge to interested church, school, and community groups. To schedule this free seminar for your church or community group, call Youth for Christ at 946-1300. That's 946-1300. Also, tune into our weekly broadcast of YFC for Parents on AM 760 KGU, Tuesday night at 6.
Welcome back to YFC for Parents. Today, we're talking about perspectives of a new generation.
That's right.
My guest is Koa Siu, and I have actually interviewed him on another program, and you all listening might be interested in that. Just go to our website. It's free of charge. Koa and I talked a bit about his music career, and
yep.
I encourage you to take a look at that. The website is yfcforparents.org. yfcforparents.org. There's about 5 years of interviews with national leaders, teenagers through emerging young students here in Hawaii, and just great, rich stuff. YFCForParents.org, and it's all free. Today, talking about perspectives of a new generation. Koa, that was terrific, the way you put it in our first segment, about a perspective of victory, a perspective of the entire kingdom, and not segmented parts of the kingdom.
Yeah.
Tell me, how is this changing the way young believers are engaging the non-Christian culture?
Yeah, well, first of all, it's the young believers are not intimidated by the non-Christian culture.
Well, they've lived in it. They're soaked through with it.
Yeah.
And I don't mean anything bad by that. It's just that they are there.
Yeah, how is this showing up practically? People are living their Christian lives out in a powerful way that's also more relevant to non-believers.
Okay, that's a good word, relevant.
And that basically is a little bit less weird in its expression. You know, even in my high school days, to live out being a Christian looked a little bit, I mean, it always looks weird. It's going to look weird, but it looked a little bit excessively weird in some ways, whereas now I think we're seeing people live their Christian lives out in a way that is maybe the most accessible it's ever been for non-believers to understand, and yet they're not
compromising things.
They're about causes and about music and about passionate things that have Christ all over them.
You know, I think that we would take passages in Scripture like Paul's admonition to come out and be separate from them, and think that meant culturally separate or separate by the way we lived and dressed and ate and drank, but it doesn't mean that at all. It means let your heart be separate from sin, but get in there and be with people. That's what this younger generation is doing.
I believe so. And really it's because of that fear factor is being removed and the boldness is coming, because that courage and boldness is what comes with knowing your King. And knowing that you're part of the victorious kingdom.
Well, just to give you another example, I think that in the past we often wanted to make sure that Christians wouldn't get tainted by through friends who were not believers, and so don't go out with, don't date, don't get involved with anybody who isn't going to the right church and who has the right parents and all of that.
Yeah, you know, today's Christianity and the emerging younger culture of Christianity it's risky. You know, people are definitely rubbing shoulders with the world.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we have this also, these terms, which we don't need to park on, but which you've mentioned earlier, emergent and emerging and stuff. There's a lot of discussion about that.
Right, as theology is finding new clothes to wear, so to speak.
Yeah, and sometimes the point is, you know, it's that risky edge of the contemporary church where we're trying to live out there. And sometimes people are taking risks that they shouldn't and getting in trouble. But generally speaking, what they're doing is far more, it's taking the kingdom forward. It's taking the kingdom to
people.
That's
good. I love the way you say that. It's humble. It's truthful. That, there are risks, and some of us are getting into trouble.
And there are problems.
and you're not hiding that. And that tells me this isn't about triumphalism. This isn't about saying our generation does it better or knows better.
Yeah,
it's about
really
saying
not.
we're pioneering, and we don't have the answers, but we want to do the right thing before God.
Yeah, and you know, so I was at Hillsong for the last 2 years.
Yes, tell our listeners a little bit about why Hillsong is
Hillsong
such a great name today.
Is a cool name. People know it because of the song Shout to the Lord, and many, many songs have come out, you know, and people think it's just a record company or something, but it's actually a church. You know, it's like New Hope or Hope Chapel, or it's a church, and what's in their DNA is to write music and to worship, and it really comes out naturally. It's funny because they hardly work at it. I mean, they do work hard, don't get me wrong, but in a way it's like they don't even try. It just comes out.
Right. And that's a sign of gifting. That's a sign of talent.
Yeah, and it's just a particular anointing in particular, you know. But the thing about being at Hillsong for me was getting a kingdom perspective. And just I sensed such a kingdom mindset coming from them of that same thing of victory. I see them leading and doing a lot of things. And I especially see this, a really great transition between the older generation, your generation, which is not really older, by the way, sorry.
But, thank you, Cole.
Yes. But the but your generation and the younger generation, mine and below, uh-huh. Where, for instance, Darlene, even though she's still young, has already kind of handed the leadership over to Joel Houston and Reuben Morgan of the worship side of the church. And what's happening, why this is significant, is because exactly it's not about triumphalism. And I see a very good model of it there. It's about the kingdom going forward. And there's a recognition that, okay, there, God is putting something in the young people that we didn't have, speaking from the older people's perspective. And what they're doing instead of squashing that is they're empowering. And in turn, the younger people are really offering the respect and the submission.
Absolutely.
To the generation that really is still their head and still leading. And so what we're having happen around the world in churches is that where before the church has just kind of lost on that generational transition and had to rebuild itself again, we're actually having some handoffs happen. And Darlene Check has written a great book called The Great Generational Transition.
That's great. And it is a good book. By the way, you have just summed up in your generation's own language what mine would call succession planning.
There you go. Succession planning. Sounds very good. Yeah.
It's a consultant's term. But the point is really that today's young believers have something to offer the whole church.
Yeah.
And there are areas in which young believers can actually be the leaders of the church, not the youth leaders, not the
yeah.
leaders of the youth, but actually can lead us as a church into the dynamic of a new worship, the dynamic of,
exactly.
of a new cultural engagement.
Yeah, and with synergy with the existing leadership. You know, rather than like a revolt.
Well, we should, those of us who are older, want it this way because we will soon be irrelevant if we're not part of supporting and empowering the leaders of tomorrow.
Yeah, that's one of the things I loved about being at Hillsong too, is that there's a lot of older people there. And you don't see it on stage because they got a lot of young people on stage. But, I mean, there's older people, 50s, 60s, 70s even, 80s, like down there in the front row with this like banging loud, you know, modern music, but they're loving it because they know they're on the edge of the kingdom, and that's what they're excited about.
Well, we'll take a break now, as some of you can go and listen to Bach and Beethoven and Mozart, and I know you love them as well.
They are
very
good.
We're talking with CoSU today about perspectives of a new generation in the church. What a delightful conversation, and I hope that this conversation continues for many of you out there with younger Christians as we go forward. As indeed they help pioneer the future for us. We'll be right back after this short break.
Looking for some practical advice to help you raise your teenager? Then don't miss YFC's powerful 2-hour seminar entitled Life Coach Your Teens, available free of charge to interested church, school, and community groups. Life Coach Your Teens is the new program from YFC that will help you bring the best out of your teenager. You'll learn how to coach your child to achieve goals, set priorities, handle failures, and cope with anger. YFC Executive Director Kaylee Aquina will share with you from more than 2 decades of working with teens and parents. Life Coach Your Teens, available free of charge to interested church, school, and community groups. To schedule this free seminar for your church or community group, call Youth for Christ at 946-1300. That's 946-1300. Also, tune into our weekly broadcast of YFC for Parents on AM 760 KGU, Tuesday night at 6.
Welcome back to YFC for Parents. Today, my guest, CoSU, and I are talking about perspectives of a new generation. Really, what younger, emerging, or emergent, and I don't
That's
use
right.
that term in a theological sense, but younger believers who are taking us into the future have to say to us today. And let me
That's
just
right.
get right back into that conversation. And before that, just I'll mention to our listeners, CoSU is a musical artist. He's a leader of worship at Pac Rim Bible College. He's married, has beautiful children, Kekoa and Kalea.
Mm-hmm.
So Sarah and you have 2. And in addition to that, he won a Nahoku Hanohano Award for Rock Album of the Year, and recently has become a producer
there you go.
Of albums.
What a blessing.
And as I mentioned before, if you're interested in my interview of Koa about his music career, just go to our website and listen there, yfc4parents.org. But back to our topic today.
Yeah.
Koa, what is the great need of the church today? We still haven't hit a home run, if you will, in terms of helping our culture see the value and the love and the beauty of Jesus Christ. What is our need? What seems to be lacking? What do you think we need to be doing all the more? Tough question.
Yeah, that's a tough question. You know what I would say, though? To me, if we continue what we're doing and do it more, it's only a matter of time. For instance, if you look on YouTube, you can find the American Idol finalists singing Shout to the Lord.
There you go.
Like, what is that? That reminds me of Martin Smith's verse in Did You Feel the Mountains Tremble, where he says, when the lost began to sing of Jesus Christ, the risen one, something is happening in the world, and God is doing it.
Well, you know,
I don't know that it's, I don't know that it's, we're going to stumble ourselves upon the steps to get there. But I think what's happening is this unity, is this victory, is this kingdom mindset. And I think if we can harness it and continually live out that prayer, let your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and see his kingdom rise more and more, I think we'll see him work through us to really impact the world. We've already seen it in unprecedented ways. I believe he's just going to keep on going.
Now, the heart and the spirit of what you express are so good, and I don't want to diminish that in any bit whatsoever. But let's turn the page a little bit and talk about the theology. Our faith is also based on a very solid objective foundation.
The truth
of the Word of God, the propositional revelation from God. And sometimes the younger generation has been criticized for eagerly going forward, boldly, where no man has gone before.
It's the Star Trek church,
without a theological frame of reference.
Yeah.
And what are your thoughts about that? This is not to quench the spirit whatsoever.
Speaking of what we're talking about, I mean, because I can't speak for a lot of other movements, but what I'm talking about is again, those words we've talked about, Jesus's prayer, you know, the idea that if you look through the Gospels, you see Jesus speaks about the kingdom of God so much more than just about any other subject. You look at Acts 1, it says after he's risen, he spends time face-to-face talking to the disciples about the kingdom of God. And then to me, one of the most poignant theological pictures is that vision, speaking of Daniel, that Nebuchadnezzar had. Mm-hmm. You know, we all know about the statue and the many different kingdoms. But when you reread it in the context of thinking about the kingdom of God now, you know, what it says is that that statue was smashed by this giant rock, which was hewn by God's hand, and that it grew and grew and grew and filled the earth. And Daniel's interpretation is that God will build a kingdom which will be established forever, which will overrun all other kingdoms. And so I think when you read that and you look and you see, well, that kingdom, you know, that is the kingdom of God. It's meant to be the kingdom of God. And what we want to do is see it happen somehow.
Well, that is just thrilling. And, you know, we'll cap off our theological discussion with that because I want to get to something you've produced. But before that, what I'm hearing you say is this. It's not so much a shift in theology, but it's an emphasis in themes that we may have lost
exactly
in the church. And
right.
We may not have emphasized the unity of the kingdom, the victory of the kingdom as much.
There you go.
And you want to bring forth a voice to that.
Yeah.
Well, before we end today, I want to thank you for having produced something for us called Now is the Time. And if you can give just about 5 seconds to identify it, I want to play that before we close.
It's a great song. We wrote it out of Hope Chapel and for the H&L conference, and it's now being sung at various churches around Hawaii. It's called Now is the Time.
Now is the time. This is the place. Let your kingdom rise. Now is the time, this is the place, let your kingdom rise. Now is the time, this is the place.
Cool.
Terrific. I love that. Now Is the Time by KOASU and his friends. And it's available free of charge at your website. What website is that?
KOAMusic.net.
KOA, now is the time for what?
Now is the time for the kingdom of God to rise on the earth and impact the world and change things.
The kingdom of God. All of God's people.
All of God's people everywhere.
United without difference and with one true faith and one true Lord.
Yes, yes. You know, we get closer as we focus on Christ and draw together. We find out that we're drawing closer to each other as well.
Well, I'm going to have to say that I am encouraged today talking with a member of the new generation of Christians who will lead the world tomorrow in the 21st century. And I hope you all are today. Perspectives of a New Generation. My guest, KOASU.
Thank you, Kayla. You're so blessed to be here.
Well, it's been a blessing to talk with you. And we'll be back next week with a new program on YFC for Parents. Aloha.
You've been listening to Kaili'i Akina, Executive Director of Youth for Christ Hawaii. If today's program has been helpful to you, we invite you to join the family of YFC supporters. In gratitude for your contribution of $25 or more, we'll send you a free copy of YFC's new book, Life Coach Your Teens by Roger Cross. Visit our website at yfcforparents.org. YFC for Parents airs on AM 760 KGU every Tuesday at 6 p.m. For program information, visit our website at yfcforparents.org or call 946-1300. That's 946-1300. Until next time, aloha.